It's time for Ireland's only interactive podcast, the multi-award-winning Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. If you're in the Portmarnock area, especially when the weather is nice, there is nowhere nicer than the White Sands Hotel. The Oasis Bar and Grill below our studio here is well worth a visit. And when it's a nice day, sitting out on the decking, looking at the world go by, looking down onto Portmarnock Beach is just fantastic. So do pop by the White Sands Hotel here in Portmarnock. So what do we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter? A new research has suggested that a third of Irish people believe that people who are drug dependent only have themselves to blame. In other words, they make no excuses whatsoever. They believe that if you are a drug addict, there is nobody to blame except you for that decision to take drugs in the first place. And that's what we want to discuss with you. We want to find out why so many people believe that drug addicts only have themselves to blame. In other words, they've absolutely zero sympathy for drug addicts. And Jeremy, I would imagine you're in that one third, I'm going to suggest.
I thought it would be higher.
It used to be higher, yeah. And that's the point of this research.
Okay, well, I would throw back the question to you guys on today's podcast. First of all, we did a topic. It was when you were away on your six-week sabbatical there recently.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and Katie did a topic about drugs. I can't even remember what it was. But I spoke to a former addict on the show, and after doing the topic, I said to her, she asked me, would I stop calling drug addicts junkies? And I said, you know what? I actually will. I will stop calling them junkies. So I'm not going to use the word junkie today. I don't use it anymore. But if they are not to blame, then I'm throwing this question back to all of you, okay? Obviously, I don't have sympathy for anybody who's... Well, no, I have sympathy, obviously, because it's not a nice thing to be involved in, yeah? Shooting up and...
But are you one of those people who believes that if you are drug dependent, you only have yourself to blame?
So I do have sympathy for someone who's a drug addict, because nobody wants to be a drug addict, but you only have yourself to blame. And what I would do is, if you don't believe that, yeah, if you don't believe that, then I will throw the question back to you guys. If the drug addicts themselves are not to blame for being a drug addict, who's to blame then? There has to be someone to blame. With everything, someone's to blame. Someone has to be to blame.
No, it could be a bad upbringing. No. It could be abuse as a child. It could be mental health issues. It could be a load of different things. Loads of different things.
There's side factors.
No, you don't have to have somebody to blame.
No. Someone has to be blamed for everything. Like, you know, of course they do.
No, things can be to blame.
If a car crashes, there's always someone to blame. You have to be... So in this instance, and the reason being, my young fella is learning about the dangers of drugs already, yeah? So if they're teaching them that at that age, my young fella now knows that drugs are bad and don't go near them. And if you experiment, you could end up addicted. So I don't believe that anybody takes drugs, yeah, not realising that it's going to be addictive and that it's going to go down a bad path. So in that instance, I have zero sympathy, but you need to take a look in the mirror and say you are the cause of that. Take ownership of it. You are the cause of being a drug addict. Now, you may have had something traumatic happen to your life. Lots of people have things that are traumatic in their life.
Yeah, but some more than others.
And they don't...
Some more than others.
No, I know people have had horrific things happen to them.
Yeah, and didn't turn to drugs, and that's fine. But others do, to numb their pain of what they went through in their lives.
So they took the drug, so they're to blame. So thank you for... So you've literally just... won my argument.
No, their difficult upbringing or whatever made them turn to drugs.
The only experience or the only example I would give where you are not to blame for being a drug addict, yeah, yourself, is if someone pinned you down and injected heroin into you, or pinned you down and made you snort cocaine, or pinned you down and made you smoke cannabis. And by the way, you can be a drug addict and addicted to cannabis. Some people don't believe that. There are people who are actually drug addicts and addicted to cannabis. So unless you were forced to take... And Celine is saying the dealers are the cause. No, the dealers aren't the cause, Celine. Don't be stupid. The dealers are not the cause. they provide the service that drug users avail of. So they are not the cause. They're just providing the service. In the same way, is McDonald's the cause of fat people? Absolutely not. You choose to go into McDonald's. You choose not to do exercise. You choose to eat quarter pounders every week. Take some ownership for yourselves and your behaviour.
Okay, so you are one of the people that has very little sympathy
Did I not make that clear?
Yeah, you did. So you are part of the 30% of people who believe that those who are dependent on drugs only have themselves to blame.
Well, you never talk about this, so it's obviously something that's close to home. That you won't talk about it. Who do you think is to blame?
I don't think anybody is to blame.
No one's to blame.
You're looking for to blame a person. No, I don't think any one particular person is to blame. I do believe there's a variety of factors that cause people to turn to drugs.
But who forces someone to take drugs?
Nobody forces anybody.
Okay, so they only have themselves to blame.
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter. With Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Jessica, you're on Opinions Matter. Hi, Jessica.
How is?
Well, Jessica, what's your view on this? 30% of people surveyed believe that those who are dependent on drugs only have themselves to blame.
They do. It's a choice. You decide to make that choice. We all have trauma in our lives. How we choose to work through it is a choice. So if you think drugs is the outlet, that's on you.
Okay, but do you not have any sympathy then when somebody is strung out on drugs? They didn't, you know, they didn't take heroin for the first time or cocaine for the first time thinking that they were going to end up strung out drug addicts.
We all know what heroin or cocaine does. If you take a shot of heroin, I'm sorry, you know what's going to happen to you. Why should I have sympathy for a choice that you made?
So you have zero sympathy for somebody who is in the depths of addiction, who is literally strung out, the sort of drug addict that you see on the streets of Dublin. You would have zero sympathy for that person?
Absolutely not. You got yourself into that state. You made that bed. You chose to do that. No one else did. You chose to do that.
Okay, so part of the problem with drug addicts is that people literally look through them. They don't even recognise them as human beings, and that is part of the stigma of discrimination against drug addicts caused by the sort of attitude that I'm hearing from you. Only got themselves to blame. I've no sympathy at all for them. And therefore,
there are so many other outlets to work through. If you have trauma, for example, because that seems to be the main reason why people will turn to drugs. There's so many different outlets you can go to. But if you decide no, drugs is the only way, then I'm sorry. Who is to blame? Only you, because you made the choice.
Nobody taking a drug for the very first time thinks they're going to end up getting strung out.
No, stop that. No, we are not naive. We are not stupid. We know what happens when you go near addictive drugs. They will have a hook on you. Like, I'm sorry. Don't try and get them an out. Be like, oh, well, they didn't know. They know they're getting into.
But do you think that somebody wants to live a life like that? Honestly.
Well, they don't seem to, not many of them want to clean up their act, do they?
So you literally have zero sympathy for drug addicts.
No, well, how can I have sympathy for someone who makes a choice that they made to get themselves in that situation? You chose to do that. You can choose to get yourself out of it, but many don't. Why should I have sympathy for you?
All right, stay there for 1 second, Jess, if you can, please. Our number is 0858252626. Not an awful lot of sympathy going on there.
Well, why would there be?
Because we're talking about human beings. That's the thing. That's the thing people seem to forget.
Well, no, of course we are. But you said that.
But we're talking about human beings.
You said nobody.
That people like you and Jess said, literally look through.
No,
you
I don't look no, through. No, I actually don't. You said that that nobody takes heroin thinking they're going to be addicted to it. That's the most stupid thing you've ever said on this podcast.
Why?
Because heroin is one of the most addictive substances.
Okay, but a lot of people, when they take it for the first time, think, I'll just try this once.
You think someone taking heroin for the first time goes, oh, I'm only going to take one shot of this and I'll be grand. Afterwards, I'll be grand. Sure, it's only one shot. Would you cop onto life?
There's an example of how...
You're going to say that, yeah.
How you have such a low opinion of drug addicts.
I don't, actually.
That you just put on a stereotypical drug addict.
But that's what most drug addicts
Somehow they all sound.
Have you ever heard a heroin addict and, oh, hello, I'm addicted to heroin. Oh, God, I need another shot of heroin.
No, I haven't. I haven't. But that's not to say that it is all stereotypical people who sound like...
sound like what,
that
Adrian?
Voice that you just put on.
What voice was that?
The stereotypical drug addict voice that you just put on.
You're judging them.
No, you're the one who did the accent.
You wanted to say and you didn't have the balls... The junkie voice. Isn't that what you wanted to say? The junkie voice.
Our number is 085-825-2626. If you want to send us a WhatsApp or a WhatsApp voice note, please do. Shannon, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Shannon?
Grand, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks, Shannon. Well, what did you want to say on this?
Just Jeremy's point there a minute ago about the typical drug addict accent. Does he realise there's hundreds of thousands of functioning drug addicts who are on heroin who go to work every day and you wouldn't know they're on heroin?
Do you realise that, Mr. Jeremy?
No, because I don't know much about heroin, but I would imagine you couldn't hold down a full time job if you were a heroin addict.
There are functioning heroin addicts.
There are functioning heroin addicts, the same as there are functioning alcoholics or cocaine addicts or cannabis users, and even caffeine is an addiction. Like, so you're talking absolute nonsense.
Well, no, you are, because let's not compare caffeine to heroin now. Come on.
It's an addiction. You're talking about addiction. Caffeine is an addiction.
I've never met someone who's strung out on
well, I drink caffeine. At least 10 cups of coffee a day and 4 pounds of Red Bull. I have ADHD and I have an addictive personality disorder.
Okay, but you're not strung out. Okay, well, I've never heard of someone holding up a granny and robbing a granny's pension outside the post office because he wants to buy a...
Jeremy, there's another example. There's another example of you looking at all drug addicts in a stereotypical way. Not all drug addicts rob handbags off grannies either, okay? A lot of drug addicts are functioning human beings.
The point I'm trying to make to Shannon is nobody robs a granny's pension to buy a jar of Maxwell House coffee because there's a strung out
there
coffee.
There are people who rob grannies just for the sake of robbing grannies. It's not for drugs, it's because they can. Well, you're making still stupid points.
No, I'm not. No, and if you actually look at the stats, you will see that a lot of the crimes committed in the city centre, in Dublin city centre, especially crimes like shoplifting and stuff, are drug related crimes, as in they
I work in security, I deal with the shoplifters, and I can tell you an awful lot of them are actually youngsters.
Okay, so
not drug addicts.
Okay.
They're young teenage boys who have big billy bollocks.
Okay, so how in God's name is your average heroin addict, and I'm not using the word junkie, how is your average heroin addict paying for their, because I don't know, heroin is a very expensive drug, how are they paying for their addiction then?
But again, there's a lot of them work. That's the point you made. There are functioning addicts.
There's no people going into work strung out. There's nobody going into work strung out. No, there's not. There's nobody going into
work. You're not listening to what she's saying. There are some heroin addicts that are holding down jobs, that are taking their heroin in the evening, away from work, and use their job to pay for their habit.
Again, that's a lovely story, but where's the evidence? You can't just say something without any evidence. There's lots of people.
There's loads of evidence. Google is free, Jeremy.
Oh, no, I know.
Go to a library, read a book. Very educational.
So is there a book?
The point she's making is your attitude towards drug addicts, and Jess's as well, paints them all in the exact same light, paints them all as, I'm strung out on drugs, like that voice that you just put on a second ago.
Yeah.
And the point that...
Which everyone, you do it as well.
The point that Shannon... No, I don't.
Yes,
the point that Shannon is making is that not every drug addict is like that, isn't it, Shannon?
Yes.
And when you hear the attitude that you've heard from Jeremy and from from Jess...
Me, by the way.
No, it is about you.
No,
you are in that 30% of people who literally look down your nose you do.
Don't put words in my mouth. I just asked the question and nobody's given the answer. If they're not to blame for their own actions,
why do you need to blame anybody?
Who is to blame?
Well, what about that?
There's no blame game to be played.
Of course, people
end up on drugs or substances for multiple different reasons. Yes, that person chooses to take those drugs, but we're not blaming anybody. There is no blame to be laid on anyone.
Oh, no, I would blame, because I've had so many bad dealings with drug addicts that I want to put a blame on, and I'm entitled to thanks.
I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you an example of somebody who was clearly a drug addict because the drug ultimately killed this person. And this is a person that held down a job for years and years and years.
Well, this is a story that's just made up at the top of your head.
Okay, yeah. And this is a person that was very heavily addicted to cocaine, was using it day in and day out, so much so that this person died from the drug, okay?
Yep.
The post-mortem showed that that's what happened. Who am I talking about?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Jerry Ryan.
What about Jerry Ryan?
Held down a job. Nobody ever knew. Functioning drug addict. A functioning drug addict.
I don't know if he was.
That was so addicted to the drug, it killed him.
Well, it did. He was warned because of his... He obviously had a heart condition or whatever.
The point is, he was holding down a job while he was strung out on cocaine. That's just a fact.
I thought we were talking about heroin. Jeez, we moved on.
But it doesn't matter. No.
I know.
The survey,
we're
actually... The survey is that...
And if Jerry was alive today, I assume Jerry would say to you, I only have myself to blame, folks. That's what he'd say. He wouldn't blame anybody else. He wouldn't put the blame on... Who's to blame for Jerry Ryan's cocaine addiction?
Oh, Jerry is, I assume.
Gay Byrne, RTE. Like, it's ridiculous.
Jess, what do you say to that? That the attitude that we're hearing from people like you and Jeremy of having this literally looking down your nose attitude on drug addicts, no sympathy at all where it comes to addicts, is part of the problem that drug addicts face in society is this.
All you have to do is walk down the boardwalk, walk into any street in town, and you see them day in, day out. Like, I'm sorry. And there is no such thing as a functioning heroin addict. You cannot tell me there is such thing. And there are people out there, there are idiots out there, who will actually compare addiction, drug addiction, to an illness, i.e. like cancer and other illnesses. There
are
by choice, by the way. There are people out there, Shannon, who do that. There are people out there who put them in the same bracket, which is vile. The only people I feel sorry for is any babies that come from a junkie, because they didn't ask for that. That's the only people I feel sorry for. But if you're there putting junk and heroin into you, I'm sorry. No one's forcing you down, sticking that needle or the spoon into your gob or into your skin. You only have yourself to blame. I'm sorry. We all have choices in life.
I can feel my grey hairs growing.
Choices in life to make. If you decide to make the bad ones, that's on you. We've all made bad choices, but we don't blame anyone else. We only blame ourselves. Why is it different with this?
So you have zero sympathy for people who are drug dependent. Zero sympathy at all, Jessica.
None, but if they get clean, I'll pat them on the back and say fair play to you. But if they choose not to, for whatever reason, I'm sorry. Why should people be sympathy and have a bleeding heart for you when you choose to be in that situation?
Here, both of you stay on the line there for 1 second if you can, please. Our number is 085-825-2626. Let me bring in Trevor with his opinion.
Jeremy, you have to realise some of us out here are holding down jobs and we're making 100k a year to survive that habit, you know? And that's what you fuck off. Jeremy, for once I'm with you. I can't imagine heroin heads going into fucking jobs, working 9 to 5 with a junkie head on them and fucking pulling, holding down a job. And I will say junkies, because that's what they are. And I noticed on one of your comments there, someone said, oh, was your brother and your sister, would you call them junkies? Yeah, I would, because they're junkies. And this is coming from someone who lost a family member to drugs. And you know who I blame for that? I blame that person, that family member, because they chose to do it. So don't come at me with this bollocksology that, oh yeah, they hold down jobs, they're upstanding citizens, go fuck yourselves, they're not. They're wasting fucking space because they chose this and they fucking knew the consequences. Nobody since the 80s can call deniability on fucking what the fucking drugs do to you. We all know. Don't be fucking stupid. Great topic, lads. Trevor.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A podcast from Ireland with a difference.
Kerry, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Kerry?
Hey, Adrian. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for the say on this.
I'm not sure exactly what I was saying in my message. I was saying it's like pretty much what the guy said. You know, if people who maybe started on heroin or whatever when it first came out and didn't know the consequences is one thing. I think nowadays it's very different. But also, I think like the term junkie and stuff like that is just disgusting, because I married a man, not a junkie, a man who struggled every day of his life with addiction and in the end lost his life to addiction. And I blame him for starting. But when I met him, he was clean, clean from heroin, clean from methadone, clean from everything. For years working, he had a fall, broke his pelvis. Doctors put him on like ridiculously strong painkillers that should never be given to an addict in the first place. He started to abuse them and they took them off him, left him just cold turkey. So he had to go back out, get heroin, shoot it up and die. So I blame the doctor for that.
And let me ask you then, the initial addiction that he went through.
Yeah.
Do you... I mean, like I said, this survey shows that people believe that drug addicts only have themselves to blame for that initial addiction. Do you?
The initial addiction, yeah. Well, like I say, he was born in 76, so he would have started in the 90s and wouldn't have had the years of experience that we have now, and he would have been a child. This was all long before my time, long before I met him, you know what I mean? So, yeah, of course he tried it, and of course he... It was his idea to start it, but he fought and got off it and everything else. And I feel like he was let down then by the doctors throwing painkillers at someone who should never have been given them. Had a history, 8 years of history of addiction and drug abuse, and then to swipe them off from them because they're taking too much and just leave them in cold turkey withdrawals with nothing.
How long ago was this that he actually passed away?
9 years.
9 years. And I can still hear the pain in you talking about him.
Yes. Well, obviously it's rough. I mean, I was only 30. We had a 10-year-old daughter. We're only 2 years married at the time. He'd been doing so well. It was just like a slap in the face.
Okay, so in terms of the initial addiction, you're blaming him. It was his own fault for ever going down the road of taking or trying drugs.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, but...
He was one of those people that would have tried everything as, you know, a young person. All the friends would have. He lost loads of friends to it. So he got off. I felt like he did all the hard work and done everything so well. And then... Still got him in the end, so obviously anyone to try it now would be fucking crazy.
So what do you say then to people who have this completely negative attitude towards drug addicts? People like Jess, people like Jeremy. Yeah. Now, Jeremy has agreed lately for some reason to stop using the word junkie, which up until now he would always use.
So would you?
No, I never used that word. No, I never did. Don't turn this on me. You, until a recent podcast, continued to refer to drug addicts as junkies. Let me ask you, Kerry, why is that such an offensive term?
I just think it takes the human out of the condition. Do you know what I mean? It's a person with an addiction, and or it's a junkie. It's the same when I say to people, "Oh God, I was without a 30," and they're like, "Oh my God, what happened?" And as soon as they take drugs, they go, "Oh, that doesn't count." You know?
Again, that comes back to the looking through a drug addict, that we don't even see them as human.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I do think there's two types of addicts right now. There's a type that wants help, and there's others that just don't want it. You know, you could offer them anything tomorrow, we'll bring you in, get you treated, get your house, get you this, get you that, and they actually don't want it.
Yeah, there are, I agree. And then, unfortunately, what happened with your partner was he ended up getting addicted to drugs all over again. And some people, and this is the point I wanted to make to you, Jeremy, people have an addictive personality.
And if you have an addictive personality, I don't.
But you don't know until it's too late, basically.
No, but I know I have an addictive personality, or I don't have one. So I know I can go out, have one drink and go home. You can't do that. You have a different personality to me.
Yeah.
You got addicted to cigarettes as well, Adrian. I didn't. I don't have an addictive personality, but if I did, I would stay away from anything that is.
But you don't know you have an addictive personality until it's too late, is what I'm trying to say to you.
You don't need to know about your addictive personality. You know that heroin is a very addictive drug. Yeah?
You have a lot more of 40 and 50 than you do at 14 as well. You know, these were kids taking it, literally kids, when they started.
And there are still kids taking it, who are naive gobshites that you'd love to smack around the place.
Being linked with fentanyl and everything, it's even more dangerous.
Absolutely. All right, so when people are in that 30%, have zero sympathy towards somebody who is drug dependent, what's your message to those people who, as I said, barely see a drug addict as a human?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would just say that they're a person battling addiction, and it's a battle. It's really is a battle. I watched it for 12 years. It's a battle to try and not do it, and they're just failing, and they can fail 1,000 times before they get it right, but they're still a person, and nobody knows what's around the corner for anybody. People get addicted to everything for all different reasons, and I definitely have sympathy for them.
All right, stay there for a second, Kerry. Let me go to John. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, John?
How are you doing, Adrian? How are you doing, Jeremy?
John, we need to have, as Kerry said, a bit more sympathy towards drug addicts. They are, after all, human beings fighting a battle.
I've always said this, Adrian, but the fact of the matter is, you know, the question here is it their fault? Of course it's their fault. You know, nobody forced anybody into drug addiction. Nobody forced anybody to do anything. You know, let's get back to the question. I dealt with a family member. Thank God now they're doing well. But the fact of the matter is, that was own their fault. That was their fault. Nobody forced their hands to do that. They robbed us blind. They done this. They done that. I'm not going to get into it. But Jesus Christ, the stuff that we went through was unbelievable. You know, the fact of the matter is, yes, they still are a person, but at the end of it, it's their fault. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't the mother and father's fault. It wasn't anybody else's fault. It was their fault. None of us ended up on drugs. None of us ended up doing this, that, the other. None of us ended up in, you know, getting locked up for this, that, and the other. So the fact of the matter is, it's their fault, and that you have to be accountable for their actions. I don't care what anyone says.
Did you never do something stupid in your life, John? We all did stupid things.
I did, but not as stupid as drugs. No, thank God. No, because I've seen it. And if anybody can see what drugs do to people and they end up on drugs, well, I tell you what, Jesus Christ, I don't know what to say to you. I really don't. Because the signs are there, the warning signs are there. You know, I'm seeing with my own two eyes unfolding and what I'm seeing, and I said, holy shit, I never knew he'd do this. I never knew he'd do that. I never seen this happen. You know, but the fact of the matter is, I've seen it happen. And, you know, that's got to be a red flag to anybody, really. You know, it's got to be, you know. But the fact of the matter is, it was their fault. They done it. That was their own actions. And they have to be accountable for their own actions. As you said there earlier on, there's Jerry, you know, he's not with us anymore because he's accountable for his own actions. You know, he knew what he was doing. He knew quite well what he was getting himself into. And unfortunately, no longer is he here, you know. And that is a fact across the country, you know.
Okay,
that,
so you know, yeah. Let me ask you then. Do you believe, obviously, that people who are addicted to drugs only have themselves to blame?
But who are they going to blame, Adrian? Who else are they going to blame?
So you've no... But the point of this conversation is that you have zero sympathy then when somebody is addicted to drugs because you look at that person and you think to yourself, you've only got yourself to blame. So you've no sympathy at all.
I don't, because we all had the same chances in life that we came from. Every one of us. We all got the same crack of the whip. And this person in my family chose to do that. It was their fault. It's not my fault. It's not anybody's fault. Their fault. We got the same fucking, you know, we got the same upbringing, we got the same everything. And you want to go and do that, you can fucking do it. But, you know, and as I said, yes, we did help them. Of course we did. And, you know, this is why we are where we are today. And we didn't bury this person because I knew he was going down the wrong road. Do I have sympathy for them? I kind of do, but it's because it was my own family. But I'm saying this, Adrian, that you got to know what you're doing. You got to be accountable for your own actions. And that's the truth of it, you know.
Okay, when you look at somebody who's completely strung out on something like heroin, do you think that that individual chose that life? Do you think that that's what they were setting out to do?
I never said that. What I'm saying is they chose to pick up the needle. They chose to buy the heroin. They chose that, Adrian. Nobody else did it for them. Nobody else did it for them. They did it. They wanted to go and do that. And it's a shame, and I know it sounds harsh, but, you know, that happened to my family member. They went and bought that product. They went and put that into their arms. We didn't do it for them. We didn't, you know. So, yes, it's their own fault.
There you go. So, I mean, Kerry, you did say that for your partner's initial drug addiction, you believe he was to blame for making that decision in the first place.
But regardless of fault, sometimes what keeps them going back and doing it is that guilt of everything they're making their family go through. Look at the stay at me, look what everyone hates me, look what I've done. So to get out of their own head, they use more. And it's a vicious, vicious circle. And if it's hard to look at, imagine how hard it is to live and how bad your life has to be for that to be the better alternative to go around like
I understand what you're saying, Kerry, but if you really, really want to live your life and get off drugs, you can do it. And I've seen it being done.
I know that. Husband did it. Yeah, for years.
I think some people just don't want to do it, and for whatever reason, what they don't, and they're comfortable in what they're doing and want to do what they do. I'll never get my head around that.
Oh, definitely,
you know?
Yeah. There is some that don't want help, but you know, just said that whether you help them in the morning, they don't want it. They just want to keep on that wheel. Mm-hmm. But it only ends one way, you know.
Very sad life. It is, guys.
Yeah, it's very sad. Yeah. It's very sad. I don't know how anybody could not have sympathy. You'd have to have a heart of stone.
Yeah, well, look, like I said, I said that I have got a tad bit of sympathy for the people, but what I did say is that they done it. They chose that life,
yeah,
you know.
Sure, and, but I don't think they're blaming anybody else. They know they did it.
And I even seeing us as a family unit even getting caught apart by this. We were losing our shit against each other, you know. And
absolutely.
You're going through it with a clear head.
They're going through it in the fog. You're going through it with a clear head. I know that. I know exactly what you're
trying to keep them in the room. I had them with me for I don't know how long, two or three weeks, and I tried to keep them in. Look, I was minding a five-year-old, which was a 35-year-old, and watching every move he made, bringing them to the shops, bringing them here, bringing them. I've done it all. I fucking done it all, and I broke my heart. I put my whole family, i.e., my immediate family, on hold and on pause to try do this for this person. And I get what you're saying, Cardi. You've done the same, and it is heartbreaking. You know,
it is.
And,
it's heartbreaking.
I don't know if anybody. Yes, of course, of course.
And let me ask you, John. Another part of this survey looks at apparently about a half of people who were interviewed in this survey actually personally know of somebody who had a drug problem in their past or present, and that includes you. It includes Kerry that we spoke to just a couple of minutes ago. But two thirds of people, and this is what I want to deal with for a second, John. Two thirds of people said that they tend to avoid people who are drug dependent. Two thirds of people avoid people who are drug dependent. In other words, we literally look down our noses at drug addicts and want nothing to do with them.
Well, being through the personal, you know, case that I've been through, a friend of mine is on drugs right now, and I avoid him. Now, he has his own family, so, like, you know, I don't feel too guilty about it. But I avoid it, because I went through it all with this family member agent. And, yeah, I do. I would be one of the percentage to avoid. I could never do that again. I could never do what I've done again, you know. And I only didn't know, you know, this took years and years, and it took lumps out of me, you know. So anybody that's dealing with somebody like this, they know what I'm talking about. It's fucking heartbreaking.
But
you know?
By your own admission, though, John, and this is really the bit that gets me sometimes. A lot of people just give up on drug addicts. Just wipe our hands, wash our hands clean of them. Want to have nothing to do with them. As I said, a huge percentage, two thirds of people avoid having anything to do with drug addicts. But you've just proven the point that if you actually do stand by that person, they can eventually turn their life around. You've just proven that. I wouldn't
want to do it again, Adrian. I'd never want to be in that position again. Don't get me wrong. If I was ever put in that position again, that I had no choice, I'd obviously have to do it. But I'd never want to go down that route again, because it was just horrific that, you know, the jewellery, the money I lost. It's nothing about that. You know, it's just, you know, one morning I got up, all my money is gone, my jewellery is gone, my whole jewellery was gone. And I knew straight away, I went into his room, he was gone. I was like, fucking leave it out. You know, anyway, looking at all that aside.
But again, John, what I'm trying to point out is that we need to support people
of course
like
I
that.
Get that, Adrian.
Because
I get that.
Ultimately, they can, and in some cases do, turn their lives around.
They have, Adrian, in my case, and I am very lucky, and I am one of the lucky ones to have them still here. But you know, as I said, you're putting me really on a pedestal here and asking me, would you do it again? I suppose I'd have to. I suppose I would. You know, I'm saying I wouldn't want to do it, and I wouldn't want to do it. But if I had to do it, I would. I suppose I would. Yeah.
Okay, stay there for a second, if you can, please, John. Let me bring in more of your opinions. This is Helen.
I've been listening to the show over the last week, and everything, or every conversation, or every topic, you start throwing it back at Adrian. If you have an opinion, own it. Don't say, but you said, he said. If it's your opinion, have balls and own it. You do call people junkies. And I have a friend, a very successful businessman, and for social reasons, he cannot go out without taking cocaine. So you don't really know the real world. Own your opinion. Stop throwing it on everybody else, especially Adrian.
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Jude, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Jude?
Not too bad. Not bad at all.
Okay.
I'm not an addict.
You're not an addict. Okay, that's fine. Why did you feel the need to say that?
I know, but you said, how am I doing? I said, I'm doing fine. I'm not an addict.
Oh, okay. So 30% of people surveyed said that they have absolutely no sympathy for people who are addicted to drugs because they only have themselves to blame. Are you one of those people?
They're right. I am. But they're right. And tell us, where is the compulsion or the need for me and those other people to have empathy for a drug addict?
There is no compulsion on you to have empathy for a drug addict. No compulsion at all. But
so it's all right. It's, we have that, we're entitled to that opinion. So if I don't want anything got to do with a junkie, don't want to do nothing got to do with them, no pity, that is my entitlement.
Obviously it is. But it.
I shouldn't have to change it for anybody.
No, it dehumanizes that particular individual.
So that's the way I feel. So it's not dehumanizing anything, because this is a human reaction.
And sorry, Jews, to cut across, Adrian, a lot of times they dehumanize themselves. I've spoken about this anytime a topic of drug addicts. And by the way, to that lady, I don't call them junkies. I explained that at the start of the show. After a topic we did about 3 months ago where I spoke to a reformed drug addict, she asked me not to call them junkies again. I said I wouldn't. So I'm standing by that. And if you listen to every podcast of the last 3 months, you won't hear that word being uttered by my mouth. Anyway, I tell the story often, that I was in the city centre with my son, bringing him in to buy a new terrapin in the pet shop in town, and he saw a drug addict along the quays injecting heroin into his groin with his trousers down around his ankles. My son had to see that at 6 years of age. I also stood on a dirty needle, as you know, on Parnell Street, which is not a nice thing to happen. So I haven't had, by the law of averages, I haven't had good experience with drug addicts.
Okay, but again, this comes back to dehumanising drug addicts with our, look down our nose attitude towards them.
But of course they're human beings. Absolutely they're human beings.
But you don't treat them like that.
But you're the same person, Adrian.
You're doing exactly what that lady said a minute ago. Turning the back on me.
I'm calling out your hypocrisy. There was a day that we were driving in the car, I remember, down the quays, and we were passing by Merchant's Quay, and there was drug addicts crossing the road, and the first thing you did was lock the doors on your car. Why did you do that?
Because I didn't want anyone getting into my car. Didn't matter who they were.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, Jude, as regards drug addicts, you have zero sympathy for them. You there, Jude?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Sorry, you have zero sympathy for them.
Can I ask, first of all, I'm going to say two things that are factual, right? I'm not an addict, so I can speak in personal experience. Addicts don't bring anything to anyone's table. And I'm not an addict, so I would never be the one who would rob or harm your family or friends or my family or friends because of an addiction. Okay, that's fact. I will not do time because I am not an addict. They're facts. And no one here has said anything positive what they bring to a table. Tell me, if it's that good, why is it people don't advise their children or their friends' children or teenagers? If it's that good, you know, we all have this amount of sympathy. Why is it not encouraged that you use drugs?
No, of course it's not encouraged that we use drugs. And I take the point that you're making. But the whole thing about this survey is to prove that people still, there is still a stigma around being a drug addict because people have no sympathy for them at all. And we literally...
And it's a survey, that's right.
Okay,
it's
but literally look through fellow human beings.
Well, that's how people feel. It's a human reaction. That's how people feel.
Well, let me ask Jude the question. When you walk by, if you're walking down the city centre, for argument's sake, and you walk by someone who is strung out on heroin, what goes to your mind when you see them?
They're just weak losers.
Oh, Jesus.
You did ask the question.
I did. I wasn't expecting that answer.
Okay, stay there for a second.
And weak losers.
This goes back to the point of people's attitude to drug addicts. Celine, you're on Opinions Matter. Hi, Celine.
Hi, I'm there.
Celine, what do you make of that sort of attitude? Weak losers.
In the 90s, when people did not understand, they got caught up in it. That's the way it was. That's simply the way it was. It shouldn't have been like that, but it was. I have no sympathy now for people that have seen other people in the 90s go through what they went through and they're picking up. So, no.
Okay, so today, with today's generation of drug users, you have zero sympathy for them because they have already seen or should have already seen the damage that it causes.
No, I do to an extent. I do know someone's taking something to block something out. I do understand that, but they should have learned.
Okay, so you don't believe there's as much of an excuse in 2025 in this generation because we have had a couple of destroyed generations now at this stage because of drugs.
It hurts you, it hurts your family, it hurts everyone, You just don't do it.
All right, I want to bring in Catherine on this. Catherine, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Catherine?
Hi, Adrian. I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. What did you want to say?
Hi, Jeremy. I have a brother, and he is my best friend. He's a year and a half older than me. He is the most gorgeous, generous, kind of funniest person in the world. He's currently in St. James's Hospital on life support machine because of drugs.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he's not doing well. It's not his first rodeo. This is his third time because of drugs. He is so nice. He's so kind. He's so lovely. He's so good to me. But he has this terrible addiction. And I hate when people are looking down the nose and calling him junkie. I suppose he is a junkie, but he's my brother and he's a human being. And all these people, like, they're somebody's baby, they're someone's brother, they're someone's uncle. And people talk to me about them like they're scum. It turns my stomach because I go in every second day to visit him and he's hooked up to all these machines. He can't talk. But he's like, I can see in his eyes and he's trying to talk, he's trying to respond to me. It's drugs. Thanks be to God, I was never curious. I never tried anything. He was wearing the same as me and my other three brothers. We were all wearing the same, but he had a lot of hurt in his life and a lot of trauma. He's the only one of us that was adopted. We were all biological and he was adopted and he met his birth king. I wouldn't say mother, his king, and it went really, really badly and it destroyed his life.
And this, I want to bring this back to the very start of this conversation where we talked about who is to blame and a drug addict only has themselves to blame. And Jeremy, I was arguing with you.
Why are you throwing everything back to me?
Because I was arguing with you at the start of this episode that there's not always somebody to blame. Some people have had trauma in their backgrounds, like Catherine's brother, that just brings them down that road to try and mask the pain.
Do you know what it was, Adrian? He was adopted. We're all short, very dark brown eyes, black hair, and I won't say his name. My brother, the adopted one, was like 6 foot odd with bright blue eyes and blonde hair. So he stuck out. He never fitted in the family. And then as a teenager, he came out that he was gay. This would have been in the early 90s when gay was like a shameful thing. So he didn't fit in with society, you know, as such. He wasn't accepted by society and he was always a misfit. And he moved to Dublin and he found all these clubs, you know, these the gay lifestyle, we'd say, in the late 90s. And they were all kind of, you know, misfits. I don't mean that rude. You know, kind of people at the time, society, they would have been misfits. So he went into that lifestyle and finally he kind of fitted in, you know, when he never did in life.
That's so it's such a sad story, but it's a story, as we said earlier on, of a human being, of somebody who...
He's a human being. He's my brother. I love him to bits. He met his birth mother just before his 40th birthday. And she said, if I had known you were gay, I was carrying a gay baby, I would have aborted you myself, is what she said to him.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, like, every person, like, if they go on drugs and stuff, they have their story, they have their hurt. You know, it's a horrible thing. I adore my brother. I love him so much. As I say, this isn't his first rodeo. I'm after getting kind of used to seeing him on life support machine in St. James's, you know, and the nurses all know me and the doctors know me because I'm in and out. And I never, ever, ever turn my back on him because he's my brother. He's a human being that's been hurt over and over again. And he was taking drugs. He was numbing the pain. He was drinking vodka. He was swallowing down the hurt, swallowing down the pain just to numb himself.
And let me ask you then, Catherine, you say that he's on life support.
Yeah.
Directly as a result of drugs.
Yeah.
Is there any hope for him?
He's had two heart attacks in the last week. He's on a ventilator. They've told me, he had named me as next of kin. The doctors have told me if he gets a third heart attack, they're not going to resuscitate him. They just prolong his death.
I'm really heartbroken to hear that story, I have to say.
He is the loveliest person. He's so kind and he's so funny.
Addiction is a selfish thing. That is the problem with addiction. When someone is addicted...
selfish. They're trying to numb themselves. They're trying to numb themselves from pain in their lives.
Now, here's the thing, Catherine. I'll just say to you... There's about, because we do have this show timed when we record this podcast, we had another 10 minutes set aside for this. There's calls that want to come on. I'm just looking at the messages that want to come on and not have a go at you, but argue the point. And
bring it on.
It's not happening.
Argue the point that has been made already. There are, like, one of our callers that was on earlier on.
There's no need to read out the messages.
One of the callers that was on earlier on, I want you just to respond to this, Catherine. It's the most vile message we've gotten for a long time. But all he said was, cry me a fucking river. What do you say to that?
I hope it never comes to his door. I hope it never comes to that person's door. Because look at, we're all going through life. We don't know what our children are going to bring to our door. We don't know what bad turns or good turns that they're going to make in life. No, I just hope it never affects that person because it's destroyed my family.
You can hear that. And it's very rare that we do this. I think we've only actually done it once since we started this podcast. We're going to finish the podcast early. We're going to finish it on you. As I said, we have about five or six more calls that want to come on, but I don't think it's
appropriate. No, we're done at this stage. Catherine, I just want to leave the you to the people who
by the way, not, I have the ultimate sympathy for what that woman's going through, but it doesn't change my opinion. It doesn't take one case for me to change my opinion, but I'm not going to have a go.
Okay, but
Jeremy,
yeah,
you have small children. You don't know what they're going to bring to your door.
You just don't.
You please God, everything would work out for them. You have small children. You just don't know.
No, you
they
don't.
Can take a wrong turn in life. And they can meet the wrong people, and it just messes everything up. I hope to God it never comes to your door. I hope it doesn't come to anyone else's door.
So I'm going to leave the final word with you, Catherine. To the people who literally look through drug addicts, have absolutely zero sympathy for them, what do you want to say to those people?
Just the same thing. I hope it never comes to their door. I hope it doesn't come to their family members, their children, their grandchildren. It's heartbreaking that the nicest person in the whole wide world that you adore ends up like that. And you're looking at them breathing through tubes with a tracheostomy through their neck and can't breathe, can't speak, being washed and shaved and wearing a nappy at 52 and just lying there. I just hope it never comes to other people's doors. Don't judge. You can't judge because you don't know what people's stories are.
Catherine, I'm going to spare a thought for your brother, and for what it's worth, send a prayer that he pulls through. And
thank you.
Listening to the way you've described it, you're not overly optimistic that he will, but I'll keep my fingers.
There's not much hope. I mean,
I'm still kidding, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners would send well wishes as well. He does actually pull through this.
I hope he does. His life is worth living. He's still there. Like, he's a human being.
Catherine, thank you very much indeed for talking to us at this very difficult time for you. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Let me squeeze in one final message from Keith.
You know, when awareness went out about drugs, you know, to help people who didn't know the full effects of it, you know, people were educated. And he's seen the addicts standing at shops. We've seen the addicts out robbing people. You know, we've seen how bad it went down. But some people still chose to walk that path, you know, get addicted. I raise my kids now to try get into their heads to avoid addiction. It's not about don't touch that drug or don't touch that drug. It's to avoid addiction. Because that is the thing that haunts us all, isn't it? It can happen very easy. Like, somebody could do it. It's only when they decide to come off the stuff that they realise that they're going too far. You know, it's terrible seeing somebody go down to them pits, but it's great to see them come out of it. So when they go sort themselves out. And I think people like that should be used in schools, you know, to go in and educate young people about drugs and the horrors that it holds in life for you.
All right, Keith, thanks very much indeed for your message, and thank you, all of you, for your messages.
And apologies to those of you who we didn't get back to, but we just felt we should end things prematurely
with
Catherine.
Thank you for listening.
Can I just say, by the way, if you believe in God or you don't believe in God, say a prayer.
No, absolutely. I just said it myself. Yep. Yeah. Thank you for listening to this latest Opinions Matter podcast. Please hit subscribe or follow. Click on the bell icon on Spotify, and you'll be notified every time we upload a new episode. We'll catch you on the next one.